Hi, I'm Skip Nipper. Welcome to Skip's Corner, the podcast where I tell you about not only Nashville's great baseball history and traditions,
shot to right, a one-hop liner,
but certainly about its past. And you will hear a little bit about its present and future, too.
Yes, he can. It makes the waist-high catch.
There are great stories about Tom Wilson Park, Herschel Greer Stadium, Sulphur Dell, and the players, coaches, and fans who love everything about baseball. And every once in a while, you will get to hear from a special guest who will share their fondness and even passion for the great game.
It's a high fly ball down the right field corner, going way back, hits a leadoff home run.
Nashville's famous old historic ballpark, Sulphur Dell, was an event venue long before they built the municipal auditorium downtown. It held a lot of concerts and it held a lot of circuses, often came there. I remember going to see the circus at Sulphur Dell. All the acts were on the infield, or at least the flat part of the ballpark. And out in the outfield, they would shoot that guy out of that cannon. He'd land in a big net out there. I guess that net kept him from going over the center, left, right center field wall. But anyway, there were other event venues, the Hippodrome, which was a skating rink, but they also played basketball games there. There was an auditorium or a coliseum down at the fairgrounds, down in that lower level past the hill, where the circus was at one time, too. And I don't know what other kinds of events there. But there was always something going on at Sulphur Dell, boxing matches. There was even, a dog race there at one time. And Sulphur Dell itself, being the Cracker Box, lent itself to all kinds of heroics by hitters, because that low-lying area that developed into a high area around the outfield walls was a challenge for home runs to be hit. But sometimes there were sluggers that came to town and hit home runs. Babe Ruth in 1927, in his first at-bat in a spring training game against the St. Louis Cardinals, hit a home run. So there's all kinds of traditional stories like that. But in what must have been one of baseball's most productive offensive games ever in Sulphur Dell, on June the 12th, 1946, Chattanooga Lookouts outlasted Nashville by a score of 24-17 in the second game of a doubleheader. The reason I brought up the circus is because with the Shrine Circus scheduled for a five-day run at the historic ballpark the next week, Nashville Tennessean sports writer Raymond Johnson offered his view by comparing the wild game to circus shenanigans under the subheading "Vols Lookout Gyrations Bring to Mind Shrine Circus." And he wrote, "It is extremely doubtful if the circus will provide more amusing things than some of the comical and at times stupid play those Vols, their rivals, and the umpires, let's not forget them, have in the Dell this week." The Dell, of course, was Sulphur Dell. Now, Nashville won the first game that day by a score of 4-3, but the nightcap was won for the record books, 24-17. And Nashville and Southern Association rival Chattanooga set a league record for most hits in one game for both teams with 51, and tied a league record for runs in a game with 41. And get this, there were 109 official times at bat, 29 men left on base, 15 doubles, 3 home runs, and 71 bases. Now that's in one game. What does not show up in the box score are the other zany happenings. For example, 28 players, 12 lookouts, and 16 Vols took part in the game. 9 pitchers, 6 of them Vols, and 3 lookouts took his turn on the mound. And along with that, there were 4 hit batsmen, and of course, errors amounted to 9. In the first inning, Nashville's Joe Stringfellow golfed a long home run out of the ballpark. And a few batters later, second baseman Jim Schilling hit an infield pop-up, which lookouts third baseman Ray Goolsby, first baseman Jack Sanford, and pitcher Larry Brunke dropped between them, and Schilling later pitched 2 innings for Nashville. There was even a protest, although only rules interpretations can be protested, not judgment calls. In the 4th inning, Chattanooga's Hillis Lane hit a fly ball that hit the right field screen and dropped down to settle at the top of the fence. Base umpire Lynn Doughty ruled it a ground rule double, but plate umpire Paul Blackard thought the ball had cleared the wall and gave the signal for a home run. Now that's where it gets interesting, because Nashville outfielders Stringfellow and Pete Thomasy convinced Blackard, the umpire behind the plate, that the ball was clearly visible on top of the fence, and the arbiter reversed his decision. Well, that brought manager Bert Niehoff out of the Lookout's dugout to argue that the ball on the wall could have been hit there during batting practice. And after discussing the issue, both umpires ruled again that Hillis should get credit for a home run. And well, that brought Larry Gilbert out of the Nashville Vols dugout, and he protested the game at that point, although it was to no avail. Well, with that, the game ended at 24-17 with all those Southern Association's record. But something similar in a 26-13 win over the Crackers happened on August the 18th, 1943, 3 years earlier. Every Nashville player collected at least one hit, scored at least one run, and all except Charlie Brewster knocked in at least one run. And Charlie Gilbert went to the plate 8 times in the game, and the entire team totaled 58 plate appearances and 29 base hits. First baseman Mel Hicks started the Vols' scoring spree with a 3-run homer in the first inning, and Ed Sauer added another 4-bagger for 2 runs in the fifth. It was a 10th home run on the season for the pair, and after 3 innings, the Vols had scored 14 runs, then added 5 more in the fifth. Well, the Crackers made it enjoyable by scoring 11 runs in the final 3 innings. But by then, Nashville increased their total with 3 more in the 7th and 4 in the 9th, which included a steal of home by third baseman Pete Elko for the final Vols tally. Can you believe that? They won 26-13. And to add to that lore, Vols manager Larry Gilbert called on outfielder Calvin Chapman and catcher Walt Ringhofer to direct the ball club in his absence, as he was flying from Atlanta to attend the wedding of team owner Faye Murray's daughter, Emily, on that day. Now, one of the highest scoring games in Vols history, the previous record had occurred 2 years prior in Chattanooga on the third day of the 1941 season in Chattanooga's ballpark, Ingle Stadium, on April the 13th. Nashville won this game 25-1. By sending 19 batters to the plate in the 7th and final inning of the second game. Nashville Vols outfielder Orris Hockett hit a grand slam, and catcher Marvin Felderman drove in 3 runs with a single to clear the bases, accounting for 7 of the runs. And with 15 runs in that inning, the Vols came with one of the league record for runs scored in an inning set by Little Rock against Nashville on April the 25th, 1929. Big scores continued 6 days later on April the 19th, when Nashville won 20-1 at Sulphur Dale, and the next day as the Vols pounded the Lookouts again 21-9. Now, rivalries between opponents have created some of the most remarkable games in Southern Association history, complete with all-time marks, record stats, and individual performances. The success of Nashville's franchise during the 1940s includes those noteworthy performances such as these. Well, I hope you've enjoyed another episode of Skip's Corner. I hope you'll keep coming back. If you need to get in touch with me, feel free to write me at 262downright@gmail.com and give me your suggestions or your thoughts. Hopefully, I've got a new interview coming up for you in the next few weeks. Be sure to listen in. Thanks for listening.